What up, Matt Town? It is your girl, Brandi Grayson, here on 92.7 FM. You're tuned in to the Black Conversion Show with the host who does get it from her mama, okay? Body right, except for the little 15 pounds I didn't gain since March. But I still get it from my mama. I got so much to talk to y'all about today. So let's just get into it. Let's do what we do, which is checking in first. I had so much check-in to provide y'all. I feel like I haven't talked to y'all in a while, and I'll be missing y'all and stuff. So Luke, my white producer.
That's me.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right, Brandi. Yeah. It's the middle of June. I'm going to be taking some time off coming up here soon.
Yay.
And it's a little hectic because I got to get all my ducks in a row before I'm out. But it's good. It's good. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I cannot complain. But vacations are so weird, right? You have to do so much before going, and then you return. It's like you're drowning. So it's like, do I take a vacation or not? And this is really going to be a vacation, or it's going to be more work to go on vacation?
Yeah. It's a quick one. I've got a family wedding that I need to attend.
Oh, okay, perfect.
So I'm out a couple of days, though, and it's one of those things where hopefully I don't get too buried while I'm gone. But yeah, it's definitely like planning and making sure that everything's taken care of while I'm gone, and then catching up on everything. It can be a hassle.
Yes. Yeah. When I returned from Florida, I had 1,200 emails. And I still haven't caught up. Like, I'm still looking.
Yeah, you're still going back to those, I'm sure.
I'm still looking from June 3rd. And then, you know, it's the weird part about being a CEO of a nonprofit and being funded by grants. It's people send you emails and they expect you to respond right away, or they ask for things. And I'm like, I was out all week. And then they're like, well, that I sent it a week ago. Dude, I'm still working on June 2nd emails, and it's June 19th or whatever today's date. It is the 19th. So it's like, give me a minute. So anyway, that is just kind of hard sometimes. And then you miss things. So anyway, other than that, life was good. Disney World was good. Me and Messiah a couple weeks ago went to Disney World, went to three parks. The Animal Kingdom, I think, was probably my favorite, and then Hollywood Studio, and then Magic Kingdom. I don't know, it was okay. I felt like the staff wasn't as nice as the staff at Hollywood Studio. I don't know why. I don't know what it was
about.
Did you
catch Mickey on a bad day or what?
It was just like the normal staff. Like at the Hollywood Studios, I felt like everybody's like, are you good? Do you need anything? They were just really extra customer center focused. Might be a management thing. Whereas Magic Kingdom, people were so moving to do their job, they really wasn't concerned about you. And it wasn't that many people around where you could ask questions. So that was a different dynamic too. But we had a good time. I was super tired. You spend all your day walking in the sun. But we had some times. Like, my favorite ride was probably the Tron. My second favorite ride was probably the Space Mountain. It's so cool. Those new roller coasters are so cool. And then we got on the one at the Animal Kingdom where it was like a 4D, 5D, but you were like, felt like you were an avatar. It was pretty dope.
I haven't been there in a while.
Oh my God.
These all sound like, I've done Space Mountain, but none of the other ones sound familiar.
Okay, yeah, you gotta go one day. Y'all need to have kids, but go before you take the kids. I felt like all the little kids that were there, their parents ruined Disney World because they were just crying.
That's the whole purpose is for, though. It's
them. No. You need to go by yourself, and you need to take kids 8 and older, because like 2 or 3 year olds, they cannot handle all of that, and they were not happy. So we was in spaces. I'm like, oh my God, please get your babies. Like being on a plane when some babies is yelling. But anyway, that's my personal problem. But yeah, Disney World was great. And y'all, so I just have a lot to catch up. You're tuned in to the Black Conversion Show with your girl, Brandi Grayson, the hostess with the mostest. So some of you may know or may not know, I, Brandi Grayson, was honored as a woman of distinction with I think it was like 5 other women, amazing women, doing amazing work here locally in Madison, Wisconsin by the YWCA. And it was just an awesome, awesome experience. And it's very much so symbolic. How do I say this? So let me just provide you guys with some context, right? So I used to work for the YWCA. I used to work for them as their director of job programming. So I ran all of their workforce development programs. And most of them was, you know, most of the participants were Black. So when I got into that role, this is before I even thought or birthed Urban Triage, you know, because in hindsight, I was already doing the thing I was meant to do in different ways in my life. And at the Y, I was literally trying to teach Black people how to have paradigm shifts. So for folks who may not know, there's this book called From the N-I to God, like the N-words to God. And it was a book that was written in a way where if you didn't have, if you were used to street language or a certain way of communicating, this book was applicable and was relatable. So this is one of those books that I purchased as part of our curriculum and our workforce development. And it was really, the purpose was we had like Y-Web, getting people into IT and other tracks, construction and things like that. But what I wanted and still push in all of our education is helping people see themselves outside of their current environment or their past environment. So part of it was helping people prepare to be in environments, especially in IT world, where you may not be welcomed. So anyway, long story short, when they found out I was purchasing these books with YWCA money, they were not very happy with me. You know what I mean? You get a book order that says From the N-words to God. That's what... It's a really good book if you have kids that need to be inspired, and are you from that place of street, then it's a good book. So nevertheless, I also got fired from the YWCA because I was heavily protesting and organizing, which at the time didn't fit with their way of being, okay? Which is understandable considering in hindsight. But to be honored as a woman distinction, it really touched my heart because it was like do you say 180 or 360? How do we say that?
I want to say, well, if it's changing direction, it's got to be, well, that's the thing.
Or
if you're changing, it's 180. If you're going the opposite direction than you once were, but if you want to like say that something came full circle, so it's like you kind of got back to where you started, then it's 360.
So maybe it's 180 because we didn't go back to where we started.
Yeah, that's right? 180 would be what I think we're looking for then.
Okay. Now y'all know how to use it in context. 360 versus 180. So for me, that's what it was. And to celebrate with so many women, and also this generational thing. So as someone who's a leader in our community, I've often felt, let's just say, not connected sometimes to the mainstream leadership and community members or people who are influential. I've always been on the outskirts of it. And I felt like this award kind of said, no, you're part of this, or at least we see you. And I don't know how to say it in the right words because I don't desire to be a part of anything. But I do, as a human and as a person that's in the work, desire to be seen. That's a natural thing and an acknowledge. So I felt like it was like an acknowledgement and a 180, and it really meant a lot to me. So shout out to everybody that was in attendance at the Women of Distinction Awards this week. I also want to talk about, so I'm just going to do a long check-in with you guys. I'm about to dump all Brandy stuff on y'all right now because y'all know y'all listen to me to hear about all this good stuff that happens locally and in my own politricking life, because it'd be some politricking happening in my world. Okay, so again, you're tuned into the Black Conversion Show here on 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandy Grayson. I am the CEO and founder of Urban Triage, a nonprofit organization out of Dane County serving the greater Dane County area. And I stay in trouble. Okay, y'all, I stay in trouble even when I don't mean to be in trouble. So let me tell you guys, I just came back from Baltimore. For some of you guys, you may know that I'm part of this Community First Transformative Infrastructure Fellowship. It was in collaboration with the City of Madison and Sustain Dane and some other organizations that were recipients of this EPA grant, the one that the city and other cities across the country has been fighting in the courts to sustain, because it was one of those things that Trump came and said, oh, no, y'all not getting that. I don't know how many billions is what. I think it was like $60 billion or something like that, that the Biden administration had allocated for environmental justice, right? And he really wanted to target areas that were vulnerable and were affecting people known as Black and low income and brown people and all that stuff. So nevertheless, Urban Triage is part of that. So I'm part of this fellowship. And I was in Baltimore for a couple of days, and I almost missed the award ceremony because we got delays, right? So hold on a second. I'm going to put a pin there. Why, since Trump took over, y'all, every flight you take is delayed? Everything, nothing's working. Nothing's functioning right. Like, what is up with that, Luke? Like, you can't even get on the plane.
It's definitely gotten worse.
What?
Because, like, let's not... It's not like delays didn't exist before he came back, but it's been bad.
It's like you can almost be guaranteed to have a delay no matter where you're leaving from or going to.
When you cut as many air traffic controller and TSA agents, and like the federal government takes a lot of different people to operate it.
Yes.
And when you're all of a sudden like, hey, we're just going to send out a mass email and say, you have to tell us five things that you did this last week that... to keep your job or you need to retire. Like, and they fired all of the probationary officers. So anybody that was only in their role for the last year, they got canned for no reason.
Isn't that crazy?
And so, yeah, there's going to be things that get affected by that, like at the airports when you all of a sudden start having a lot more delays.
Yes, delays, and more delays. It's just nuts. Anyway, so I digress. So I had so many delays, y'all, and... I was like, I'm not going to make it. But I made it like as soon as the award ceremony was starting. I literally got dressed outside of my car in the parking lot at the airport. I had already had my dress hanging in the car. So I was in like literally people were walking by. I was like, I'm sorry. Y'all just going to have to see some legs. I mean, I didn't show much. But, you know, I was literally getting dressed. So anyway, I'm coming from Baltimore. And like I said, I stay in trouble even when I don't mean to be in trouble. So I'm in this group. And what I love about this transformative fellowship is that it was intellectually expanding. I don't want to say challenging. It was just intellectually, it fed me intellectually. I think that's the best way I can say it. So there was a lot of debates, a lot of political kind of heavy conversations that normally I don't get a chance to be a part of unless it's like personal or I'm like standing up or advocating. But this felt more like a place where I could be stretched and support other people in being stretched. And the part of the fellowship is for community groups that's doing the work in partnership with government officials to come together, learn how to have an authentic partnership and, you know, set your foundations for your objectives and move in the same direction. So I'm going to do my best because I know I get in trouble for saying too much, especially in the political spaces. So I'm going to leave names out, situations out, but I'll just tell you about the incident. So one of the debates that we end up having in what I would call a community conversation was about the history of people known as Black. And I think it's because I always get in trouble. Madison 365 wrote like a 10-page article about me a couple years ago for also making this comment. But I thought I learned to still speak my truth and do my best to hold space for all truths. I really do try to do that. I have not perfected it, but I do my best with what I have in the moment to move from the place of humanity where everybody's truths can be truths and it doesn't have to disprove someone else's truths, if that makes sense. So nevertheless, I made a statement that Black people... were in the Americas prior to enslavement. They came before Columbus. I didn't make any other implications or insinuate anything else. I didn't say that we were natives. I didn't say that we were Aboriginal. I didn't say that. There because I understand that in saying so would erase natives' origin story and cause people to feel some kind of way like you're erasing their history. So I tried to hold space for that and for some, you know, scholarly research and evidence that's coming out about people known as Black being present in the Americas prior to enslavement. So when we return from break, y'all, I'm going to tell you, I should never said it, but it's like it's hard not to say what you're thinking and your truths. But the thing about politics is that you're actually not allowed to be honest, authentic or true, especially as a Black person. So we're going to talk about that and talk about the connection to that on this week celebration of Juneteenth. Okay. Stay tuned in to 92.7 FM with your girl Brandi Grayson here on the Black Conversion Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Hey, they definitely ain't like me, okay, Lord? You are tuned in to the Black Conversion Show here on 92.7 FM WMDX with your girl, Brandi Grayson, hosted with the mostest. Okay, y'all can fill in the blanks. All right, so prior to break, I was just telling you guys and filling you in on my trip to Baltimore, part of this fellowship, transformational partnership, how to lean into the uncomfortable, how to hold space for hurt, systemic hurt and otherwise. And we're hanging out. I'm hanging out with these group of folks and we're talking. And someone asked me the question. They said, and before they even asked me the question, we're talking about some of the strategies that's required for partnerships for government officials and community groups to actually function authentically and to move in the direction of justice. And one of the things I had mentioned in that conversation is that people who are a part of these systems and institutions, they really do make more of a difference than they realize. Like if there's hurt, if I violate something, then you just come to me and we handle it from a human perspective. You come, we talk about it, whether or not I forgot to do paperwork, whether or not I misgendered someone, because that actually happens. Things happen, y'all. Like we're all human. If someone says something that's rooted in anti-blackness or racism, I should be able to come to you. And that is part of the work that we must do in liberation and be deliberate and be in our mirrors, but not counseling people or not making them feel less than a person, but like, hey, let's talk about this because we need to make sure we're clearing the air and that we're moving and focusing on our objective. So that's what I said in this group or whatever. And I said, part of that is if you hear something and you're in the city council or you're in the city administration, you hear something, you need to communicate that to the community group or the community person and not have your loyalty be so invested in the system that you forget that in order for the community group to do and move efficiently, they need your support, right? And I also just want to give big ups to Dane County because Dane County, Urban Trash gets a lot of grants from Dane County. And that's part of how our partnership have always been. We meet weekly. If something comes up, if something's heard, if there's a concern, or even there's an acknowledgement, in that space is where we do it, right? And we have open conversations about and when anti-blackness is showing up. And the county workers and contract workers I've worked with have been able to hold space for that, which meant that even if something happened, we could work through it. And that's how it has always been, which has been very empowering for our organization as a small Black-led organization. So big ups to y'all for setting the kind of framework for that. But in other systems in Madison, I have not experienced that. So nevertheless, here on Black Conversion Show, we talk about my own personal experience, politricking, and what it really means to be Black in leadership and how the context of white supremacy affects us and infects us. Okay. So this experience here was we're all laughing. We're drinking. I had me some tequila sunrise. We had just came from this Black bar. I don't go out. When I go to any city, I'm looking for a Black owned bar. Like that's just my thing. Y'all know I'm Black centered in all I do. I literally live it out loud, y'all. So we're in Baltimore and I'm like, we got to go to a Black owned bar and support them and da da da. So anyway, we go there. It's so ironic. There's a white girl there. Her name is Rachel. She's from Massachusetts. She teaches me the where your fans at. She teaches me to slide. And it was just so funny in this space with a diversity of people. So then we get back to the hotel and then this conversation happens. And this is when I get in trouble. So this whole conversation and context is for you to know that I got in trouble again. So anyway, in this conversation, someone asked me, Brandy, why do you say instead of Black people, why do you say people known as Black? And I say, well, because Black is a construct, right? And it was given to us to divide us and to create this relationship between Black white supremacy and Black inferiority. So most people throughout the globe, when you say Black, they automatically, whether it's conscious, unconscious, or whatever, and this is all people, even Black people, when you hear the word Black, it has been programmed to be less than, right? So I'm very cognitive of that. So I try to say the people known as Black, because the truth of the matter is that the people known as Black is not Black, right? Black is a construct. It was created. And if you go back in time and civilization, a lot of places were Black. You know what I mean? They had darker hue skin. And that's really what you're referring to. So that's why I do it. And I said also because our history didn't start in enslavement. It started eons ago. And, you know, and then we start talking about the first civilization and science started in Africa and how then that civilization kind of got across the globe. And I was like, I don't know the science behind that, but that alone says that we were here. Like we have always been here. And then one of the people that were part of the conversation was indigenous and felt like by me saying that Black people had been in America prior to enslavement meant that their history was wiped away. So I just want to say this. This is what white supremacy does. It does this thing and creates this narrative where Black people cannot, in order for Black people to exist anywhere, someone else has to not to exist. And what I am saying is that that doesn't, if you think about it, it doesn't make sense. There could be some history, you know, in some kind of phenotypes or, you know, trees that broke off, but it doesn't mean that I erase your history by looking for mine. Do you hear me? Your history is not erased because I'm looking for my history, and that there's other scholars and academia folks out there looking for the history and the commonality in the history of people known as Black and the Native. And so anyway, I said that, but this is the thing too. I just want to say in this conversation, it was so diplomatic. Like, so the people, it wasn't any energy. There wasn't emotion. There was anger. It was just diplomatic and it was intellectual. And I love intellectual conversations. It just makes me feel really good, right? And to hearing people, different people perspective. But boy, did I not know that regardless that it was diplomatic and it was a safe space, an email came through the next day that drugged me from the left to the right and back and forth. I said, God dang. Y'all, everywhere I go, everything I do, y'all just, we're going to talk about this more. And I'm not upset, but I just want to point to what liberation really is versus what freedom is and what we think freedom is and connect it to Juneteenth. So I want to I just want to settle in that. And there was this article years ago about Brandy saying this same exact thing. But what I did say then was Black people came before everybody else. And I get how that can be offensive because it doesn't take into account the histories of everyone else. So I was very intentional and deliberate about that in this conversation, and it didn't matter, right? That is what white supremacy looks like. We're going to talk more about it when we return to the Black Conversion Show here on 92.7 FM, WMDX. Your girl, Brandy Grayson, hostess with the mostest, the girl with the biggest smile, the girl with the biggest attitude, and the one that you love to hate. Stay tuned. Okay, y'all. Luke is slowing it down a little bit. I guess I better calm my energy a little bit, move into the transition. You're listening to the Black Conversion Show here on 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandy Grayson, the hostess with the mostest. And prior to our break, we were talking about my experience in this transformative fellowship program that I'm a part of with the City of Madison and other organizations, and how while I was in Baltimore, I had an experience where someone asked me a question about the origins of Black people, and I responded with the information that I know, and which is that there are scholars and things that have been, you know, saying that, you know, we've come before Columbus. And I got myself in trouble because in me saying that, it automatically implied to others that it erased their origin story and erased their history. And I wanted to just make the point that it is extremely difficult for people as Black to navigate in our lives, even in spaces when it should be safe. So in this transformative fellowship program, we're surrounded by people who are in the work of social justice and anti-racist work. And most of the folks there were predominantly Black, and some were white and, you know, indigenous and Latino and Latinx, right? But the majority of people were Black. And in this conversation, there was this young Black boy that I've never met before. He was from Massachusetts. He's down there doing some incredible work in environmental justice. And he's in the conversation. And as I'm talking, the person that I'm talking to, even before I complete my sentence, is rejecting what I'm saying, which is cool. I'm used to that. So I'm just like, okay, cool. And the Black dude was like, no, sis, hold on. Let's really talk this out. And I felt like it was, first of all, I want to kudos to him. It was the first time in a long time that I've been in a space and a Black man said, no, sis. Like, let's provide, like, what I call people like this is my translator. He took what I was saying, reframed it, and made it more digestible, not from the place of patriarchal, like I'll make it sound better, but I felt like more of a place of provision. And that felt really good. And it was diplomatic. It was articulate. It was like safe. And then I woke up to this email sent out to the city of Madison accusing me of being inappropriate and unsafe. And I wasn't even prepared for that already because that's not how I left the conversation. I left the conversation like, all right, y'all, good night. See y'all in the morning. That was good. That was some intellectual, you know, banter. And I love intellectual banter. We don't have to agree. You know, we can have that. But it ended up being unsafe for me, even when I did my best to be deliberate and intentional on making sure I was aware of someone's origin story, but it didn't matter. So I want to say this. This week, as we celebrate Juneteenth, there's something that we must recognize is that liberation does not come from someone giving us freedom on paper. Liberation comes from us taking a look, not just at external factors, because we're good at looking at, oh, the Trump this, the administration this, the policy this. We really need to look at how we're moving. I'm going to take a minute and I'm going to read the speech from my award because I think it connects and it's really good, y'all. I was really proud of the way I put these words together. I've been really working on my words. I got a long way to go. I need to do some more reading, increase my vocabulary to get like, to, I don't know, I'm trying to express myself in a way, learn and practice to express myself in a way where I'm clear, but not emotional. And I'm not saying emotions are bad because sometimes when you're emotional, messages get lost. So I'm really working hard on developing that skill. So anyway, here we go. This is the speech I gave when I received the award for the Women of Distinction from the YWCA. I say, it's time to stop settling. We must level up from deliberate mediocrity. The greatest threat to purpose and our fight against Trump and white supremacy isn't always external. Too often, it's our own willingness to settle. Settling for status quo, settling for disunity and politics of division, settling for the dehumanization of ourselves and others, settling for people, institutions, and systems that are performative at best and harmful at worst, settling for what's familiar over what's transformative, settling for neutrality, being neither hot or cold, right? Like, versus being rooted in radical humanity. That's where I desire to be, in like radical humanity. And settling for compromises that dilute the mission and erase the most marginalized. This is not justice, y'all. This is survivalism disguised as strategy. I'm going to stop there for a second because I feel like that's what happens in Madison politics, that people are always trying to survive, but then it's disguised as strategies. And when you're trying to survive versus being innovative, in doing so, you cannot be present. Survival is like you're reacting. You're not being intentional, deliberate. You're just reacting versus responding. And I feel like that's what we do a lot. So then people known as Black get and other vulnerable populations get hurt. Like that email that was sent out was hurtful. It was detrimental. It was because it was like the weaponization of institutional systems to harm me because I was invited into a conversation in community where the space was supposed to be safe, where the whole entire fellowship had been about debating intellectual, you know, protocols and how to function with city and government officials. And to have that happen was like, whoa, y'all. So and this is the thing about it. Most of the work here outside of certain institutions is performative. Everybody's just performing and acting like they care and acting like they have an analysis of how to not to cause harm. What happened was harmful. If someone interpreted me as harmful because I said Black people were here from America, then let's sit and teach each other. But you sending a formal surveillance request and then adding links to the email was horrific for me too. Like it was, y'all, I'm not going to try to because I'm working on my words again and we're practicing something different. So back to the speech. This is not justice. This is survivalism disguised as strategy. Settling kills movements. It suffocates purpose. It blocks the path to real sustained anti-racist work. I felt like the award ceremony was profound. The award, the moment, it meant more than just what I can say in a couple minutes, right? It represented for me a reminder, don't settle. The work that I've been doing is all about me being authentic and moving ahead, even when I fall on my face and even when I make a mistake and even when there's things I need to learn. And I believe that I still right now refuse to settle. I was born not to be mediocre. I was not born to be neutral. I was born to disrupt. And for most people, my desire to disrupt is it like ignites their demons. Like it's something about someone who's disruptive that causes other people to feel intimidated, feel the need to shrink you, feel the need to make you wrong, and really feel the need to destroy you. Because whether the person who sent the email or not knew, that was destructive. Like, and again, the conversation was from a place of diplomacy. It was such a good conversation, in my opinion. So anyway, so to speak with power is my objective, even when my voice trembles, and to create innovation led by those directly impacted, and to walk into rooms where crumbs are offered and demand the table. I think that's what Urban Triage has been about. And even me hosting here on 92.7 FM on the Black Conversion Show is rooted in that. Being able to digest, being able to talk through things and to educate people at the same time. So I won't read this whole thing, but I will say this. Let me be clear, right? That to have white supremacy, you have to have Black inferiority. And Black inferiority, in order for it to continue to exist, has to be supported by everybody. It's incentives by white people, indigenous people, brown people, your mama, your daddy. Everybody has to support this system in the context for it to continue to exist, which is status quo, right? And to dismantle white supremacy, we must center Black people. I know that's hard for people. I know it's hard. Right. Because to center the people that you have been indoctrinated to believe that is less than, that's criminal, that's not smart, that's not deserving, is incongruent with how we've been trained and indoctrinated. But in order for us to break white supremacy, we must lift up Black people, because we live in a dimension of relativity where white supremacy is founded on Black inferiority. If you get rid of Black inferiority, there is no white supremacy. What would be the relationship for them? Who could they compare their prototype of humanity to if Black inferiority did not exist? And this is a task that we all must take on, right? And in order to take it on, it's about relationships. It's about engaging in uncomfortable conversations. That conversation in Baltimore may have been uncomfortable, but it was respectful, right? And we must be able to engage in uncomfortable, respectful conversation. It's about holding the tension of truth and pushing beyond performative inclusion towards real transformation. So I'll just say that, y'all. And I'll just say that I hope that we're able to work through the thing and the hurt that was caused and the harm that was caused. Because the thing about liberation work, y'all, is I know that when I speak, I represent cis, heteronormative Black women. My experience is not everybody's experience, okay? I speak for a certain subclass, just like a Hmong woman who might be from Hmong speaks specifically from her experience. But the thing about being a Black woman, you actually are not allowed or given permission to speak from your experience. What Black people is demanded to do in America, despite Juneteenth and its freedom, is to include everybody. Include when you talk, Brent, you have to say Black or brown. If you talk, you have to consider the LGBTQ. Y'all know how many times I've been accused of being anti-LGBTQ, which is really nuts. I'm not even gonna do what white people do, which is like, I got a Black friend. Like, my whole family is that. All my friends is that, right? Like, this is the fabric. I don't have to distinguish them because we are that, right? Like, I don't. But because I distinguish myself as a cis hetero woman, it becomes offensive. Because I said Black people became before, it becomes offensive. Afrocentralism is offensive. And we have to ask ourselves why, because being rooted and being Vietnamese isn't offensive. Being rooted in Latin America or Latinx or as a Mexican isn't offensive. And it's only offensive because the very nature of centering Black people, Black culture, Black language, Black history is about power. And it challenges white supremacy. And that's, we just have to contend with that, y'all. And we also have to contend with I can only speak from my cis heteronormative experience, I've caused harm sometimes, right? Because I've lacked knowledge. I've lacked understanding of trans gender culture or trans people. I've lacked knowledge of Vietnamese people and other people. But the thing that happened in some of those moments is that I was educated. I was able to learn. I was able to expand. And now I'm more deliberate and intentional, right? With my words, at least I try to be. But we really have to get into accepting Black people as humans, and that Black people get to center Black people, and we get to be unapologetic about our history, about our needs, about our relationships, about our vulnerability, about us, okay? And that's all I'm going to say with that, because godly, okay, God is good. So anyway, here on the Black Conversion Show, I just had to give you a little spill because it's definitely related to being, you know, Juneteenth celebration of Black freedom. But liberation comes from the hard work. Anti-racist work is not tidy, right? It's not this polite thing you do. Anti-racism work is raw, it's emotional, it's sometimes chaotic, and you have to be able to hold space for that, and you have to practice and master and increase your emotional intelligence in order to be and engage in these uncomfortable conversations. It's a requirement of transformative justice. It's a requirement of change, y'all. So, and if we're going to deal with Trump, we got to start with the internal, because we can point to the external all we want, because as people, though, we get in these systems and then we vomit out the protocols of the systems and harm is caused. So today on the Black Conversion Show, we're going to return in a jiff, and I'm going to give you some education on Black history. We're going to talk a little bit about the history of Juneteenth, why it's important for us to celebrate it, why it's important to acknowledge it, and we're going to talk about our future show and talk about why men, generally speaking, we're experiencing this shift where men in their 40s and 50s are wanting women to take care of them. And I mean take care of them, not like in partnership, like you do this part, I do this part, but I mean like take care of them, put them on, take care of their kids, pay their child support. Like, what is happening, y'all, in the world? So we're not going to have that conversation today, because I cannot have that conversation without men, okay? I'm learning, and we're gonna get better at this thing. But stay tuned, because I got a lot more tea and politics, because also, y'all, somebody invited me to a Wisconsin Democratic fundraiser, and let me tell you my experience in that space. Stay tuned to 92.7 FM.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Okay, okay. Y'all hear them drums?
It's the R.A.P.
Okay.
Yo. History say don't repeat it.
Okay.
Many years a slave took notes from the Peter. You should marvel at the fighting. Feel like Anita. Apologize. You denied my people. Made IDEF legal. We all paralegal.
That's kind of good, look. When the laws ain't equal. You listening
Stevie Wonder.
To it? It is?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Period. We gotta find our creative. Okay. I don't even want the song to end, okay? I don't even want to do my intro.
We're just doing this now, apparently.
We're a radio station, like music station now, okay? You tuned into the Black Conversion Show with Brandi Grayson on 92.7 FM, WMDX. And that song was really good, Luke, though. Like, I really was feeling it. You're going to have to text it to me, okay?
Okay, yeah,
I'm about to be bumping it all
today. I'm going to add this one to the show. I was like, I thought about it this week, and I was like, why haven't I played this one for Brandi?
Oh my God.
This is a great one.
I know that is... That's perfect song. Okay, thank you, Luke. So anyway, prior to break, we're just talking about the importance of transformative justice, what it means to increase our emotional capacity, to have difficult conversations, be innovative, be deliberate, be intentional. Anti-racist work is hard, y'all. It's an emotional, and it can feel very personal. And when you have ideologies that are not congruent with people, or opposite, or opposing, or appear to be opposing, it could feel personal. But this work is not personal. We must stick to our result, and our result is to eradicate racism, and not just for people known as Black, but for the world. We got plane delays because of it. You know what I mean? Like, everything is chaotic right now. We about to be in war because white supremacy. Taxes are about to get cut off. Medicaid is cut off. We can't produce food anymore in our own country. White supremacy is not a thing that we should be supporting and or complacent with anymore. White people, brown people, indigenous people, we really need to get out of our own way, which are often internal from being a part of this insidious context, which is white supremacy. So anyway, moving on. Okay. I also want to tell y'all about my experience. I was invited. I'm telling y'all, I'm trying to do something different. I'm trying to figure out what I'm doing, but I'm trying to do something different. And one of those things, before I tell y'all where I was invited, is I woke up the other day. I couldn't sleep. And you know, if people who believe in the spiritual world, when your spirit is restless, that means there's something you need to do, and you need to like sit with it. So I got up and started cleaning everything. Every drawer in my house, every receipt, everything in my closet I never wear or not gonna wear, I got rid of it all. And I mean, it was bags and bags of stuff. And it was just a random act. And one of those things, I'm about to tell y'all some of my personal tea. One of those things is that my partner had stuff at my house. And when I was cleaning my closet, I had this urge just to get his stuff out of my house, like get it out the closet. And I did that. And I moved it to another closet. And I got to that closet and I was organizing. I was like, nah, I got to get his stuff out, right? There was a need for me to clean out the energy in my home. And then, like I'm talking to him and I go to his house, y'all, and I walk in and he like ignores me and I sit down and he kind of ignores me again. And then I'm like, I look at him and and in that moment, I was like, this ain't working. And I got up and left, got in my car, texted him and said, I'm done. I ain't talked to him since, y'all. So that's some tea that y'all can go and talk about. And the reason I think it's important is because sometimes the things that we are holding on to are the things that we need to let go of, right? And my spirit have been so uneasy since my birthday. There was a couple of things that that occurred that was not okay, that were harmful. And I had just been like denying it and allowing things to happen. And recently I've had this like re-energized desire and push from my ancestors to clean my house, literally. And I have, and I have to tell you, I feel lighter. I feel a little nervous, but I feel lighter. I went to the award ceremony this week, and I wanted to call somebody, like, oh my God, you should have been here. I wanted to call someone after the Baltimore incident. I wanted to share and vent how frustrating it was and have someone listen, and that made me miss him. But then I had to remind myself that this is the time for you to expand, evolve. It's time for you to read. It's time for you to write. It's time for you to reflect. It's time for you to take you to the next level, wherever level that is. So I just wanted to share that, you guys. Like, listen to your spirit and remember, I'm not mad at him at all. Things grow apart. Some things just stop working and we just have to be real with ourselves. So there's your Brandi Grayson tea. So y'all can go run tell that. Y'all love tea. So y'all can run and tell that. But also here on the Black Conversion Show, again, I'm always telling y'all my personal business, but I was invited to Wisconsin Dems fundraiser. I have never been invited to a space like this. It was an intimate space and my boy Pastor Alan Marcus was there. Shout out to you, Pastor. I really like the pastor. Like, y'all should really attend Bounce Sign. He just really is a dope dude. Subtle but dope, okay? He ain't all out there like me. But anyway, we there, you know, politicking, walking around, talking to people, and then they get up. I'm not going to even name the representatives. I really don't want no problems, y'all. I don't want no smoke from nobody, okay? So I'm not even going to name who they were. But they were in there. They were talking about how they needed, you know, we needed to rally, fundraise to stop this Trump thing and, you know, and to stop this bill. And then they were talking about all these things that they have done in caucus and what they do in caucus. And then when it came to, and then they had a Q&A. And then there's three people questions before my question. And when it came to my question, y'all, their staffer whispered over to someone whispered to someone else, and they said, we're not taking any more questions. We have to go. Like, as soon as I was, I swear, and it was awkward because people could see it happening. And then my boy Marcus, Pastor Marcus Allen, he's the host. He's like the person that's in control of the mic. He's looking, like, you can see it on his face, like, dang, sis, you know what I mean? But he's such a cool dude, you know? He's not, you know, he's just a cool dude. So he's like, dang, sis. So next thing you know, he's like, no, we got to go. They got to go. But Brandi, you got something quick to say? So he even still allowed me to not to be rejected like that. And I'm going to tell you more after this break, but I'm going to tell you more on part two. So y'all want to stay tuned. Tune in for next week. There's so much tea I have to tell y'all. And next week or the week after that, we're going to have Donald Dessler, Fitchburg Alder person co-host with me. I'm really excited to have that brother on. He was a MC of our gala. He has so much swag, y'all. He's doing so much positive community work and he fine, y'all. I don't know if he got a girlfriend or not, but y'all might want to tune in so y'all can find out the tea and what his personal life is, because, you know, we love the tea, y'all. So anyway, I'm out here, you know, doing me. Come and celebrate Juneteenth today. There's a celebration at Penn Park. I'm out, y'all. Brandi Grayson, 92.7 FM.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.